Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. Good to be here and celebrate today and worship our Lord. Encourage one another, pray for one another, and all the things that we do as we assemble to worship. Thank you for being here today. We want to look at a few announcements before we begin. Ladies Auxiliary will meet the 21st on Monday evening at 7 o'clock. And Bible study on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, and that's the 24th. And we've been collecting school supplies all the month of August, and next Sunday we'll ask God's blessing on them as they go out, these supplies to the schools. And it'll be a fun day next Sunday evening from 4 to 6. Everyone is invited. Also, the choir will start back up on September the 6th at 6:30. That is September the 6th at 6:30. Choir practice. The choir will practice. And the flower spread today are placed in the church sanctuary in memory of Stephen Taylor's 37th birthday. With much love from Dad, Mom, Jackson, and Haley. We thank you for that. Are there any other announcements? Yes. All right, thank you. Any others?
Joe, we fed 135 yesterday at Mary's.
Okay. Thank you guys for your service. Any others? All right, take your bulletin stand and let's read together the responsive reading. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours.
We thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name.
Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all.
We thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name.
In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all.
And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name.
Father, we indeed praise your glorious name. And we're so thankful that in your hand is all the power and the might and the greatness and the strength and everything that we need from you to be your people and to be holy and blameless, and to live a life that reflects your greatness. Bless us as we worship today, and fill us with your spirit. And we praise your name, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
You'll remain standing and turn to 7:30 in the hymnals. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Stand Up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, he's soldiers of the cross.
who has our Bible reading.
The Old Testament reading is Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And our New Testament reading is Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 through 28. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain this parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. She's got special music.
Thank you.
continue to worship as we pray this morning, and are there any needs we need to remember?
Gail Cottle.
Gail who?
Cottle.
Cottle, okay. Any others?
Miss Francis.
Billy's mom fell Friday and broke her femur bone in three places. That's the bone between your hip and your knee. It was scheduled to do surgery. Well, they talked about it Friday night. That didn't work. And yesterday morning, and they've canceled it for last evening, and they've canceled again this morning. So she has some other health issues. They're trying to see if they can get under control before, or if they're even able to do any surgery. So just keep the family in prayers. I'm pretty tough right now. Do we have any others?
Pray for our country.
Certainly, our country and our leaders.
Also, the Mary Perry family. She got killed.
Yeah, Mary Perry family. Any others?
People in Maui.
Yeah, that's pretty much just a lot of destruction in Maui. Let's remember those folks. Let's count our blessings. And the Lord's been mighty good to us. Pray for one another.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Father, for your sacrifice that you made, Father, so we could be forgiven and turn back to you. Father, we just ask you for all your many blessings, and we thank you for the rain, Father, that you sent, for the safety that you have put over this community so that we could worship this day. You've blessed this building to stand through many storms, Father, and we thank you. I thank you for this family that you brought together, and we call each other's brothers and sisters when we really need. Father, there's been many just mentioned that is in desperate need and desire. Please send your spirit to be with them, to comfort them, to comfort their families, to comfort those where all the devastation. Just your spirit. We don't need to see you, but we do need to feel you, Father. Father, I'm asking at this time that you forgive me and my family that stands in front of me of any sin that's been committed up to this point, that we can be as pure and as close to you as we can possibly be, Father, before we take this communion. As these deacons stand in these robes, we're going to tote you past your earth. I'm asking that we realize that and that we live to be as close, that we can represent. Just please be with us as we go out this week, that we can have a successful week. Father, please be with that inactive list that we saw this week. I ask that that spirit touch somewhere, somehow, and let them know that they are a part of us. And we love them. I ask all this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Get my hand, please.
Everyone will turn to hymn number 512. Please stand. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Jesus is All the World to Me.
Amen. You may be seated. Stand for the doxology, please. Seated. Our passage this morning comes from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Have you ever forgotten anything, anybody? Would that describe your life? You ever called anybody with your cell phone to ask them, had they seen it? You ever done that? Yeah. Well, Jesus knew how forgetful we can be. And we want to talk briefly about that this morning before we observe communion, the washing of the saints' feet. So we want to talk about this, the Lord's Supper, and what is the significance of the Lord's Supper. You know, we have many traditions that we hold dear to our hearts. And most of them we do because, you know, it's what we've always done, and we would never dream of not doing them, even if they're obsolete and they don't even have any purpose. We've always done them, and we're always going to continue to do them. Nobody's ever going to change our mind. And then there's the tradition of the Lord's Supper. It is different in that it is commanded by God that we observe it and continue to observe it until Jesus returns. Celebrating the Lord's Supper together as a church family is a deeply significant event, and it's full of meaning. It was first held when Jesus kept the Passover feast with his disciples on the evening before he was betrayed. The Lord's Supper, or Christian communion, looks back to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and ahead to his victory over death at the resurrection, as well as his coming again to earth at the end of the age. There's a little history here. God commanded many yearly feasts to the Jewish nation. Among them was Passover. Passover was the most important of them all. This feast was a time of remembering the freeing of the Jews from their slavery in Egypt, which was brought about by a terrible plague sent from God on the Egyptians. Following 9 other plagues, God killed all the firstborn of the Egyptians, and the firstborn of the Jews were saved because Moses, through God's instruction, instructed them to kill a lamb and to put the blood on over the doorpost and sprinkle his blood there on their houses. And when the death angel come through, all of those that had the blood applied, the death angel would pass over, just as God instructed. And to keep this miraculous and historical event always in their memories, the Jews were commanded by God to celebrate Passover every year. The Passover celebration that Jesus kept with his disciples is referred to as the Last Supper. I often thought about that. Well, once Jesus had that supper with those disciples, it weren't needed anymore. And it was the last one. It was a supper of unleavened bread and wine that are traditional parts of the Passover meal. And specifically, there are 4 cups of wine, and Jesus instituted communion at the 3rd cup. The Apostle Paul describes it like this: the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." All four gospel writers give us the details of this important event. And after they had finished eating, Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn, and they made their way out to the Garden of Gethsemane, where his disloyal disciple Judas was waiting to betray him into the hands of his enemies. On the following day, Jesus underwent trials and sufferings, and he was crucified. So what is the significance of this history? In keeping with tradition, Jesus broke the bread before he gave it to his disciples. This brokenness of the bread foreshadowed the brokenness that his body would endure due to his flogging and his cruel beating and nailing to a cross. King David in Psalm 22 and the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53 are just two prophecies about the great physical and mental suffering that Jesus would endure. The poured out wine which Jesus and his friends drank that night was a fitting symbol of the blood that would be shed the following day. As the Jews were to choose a perfect lamb for the Passover meal, which was their means of redemption, so Jesus, the perfect Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist called him, Jesus became the means of sinners' redemption, our redemption. In doing so, Jesus fulfilled many of the Old Testament prophecies. And since this was to be a feast of remembrance, it was to be carried out into future generations. In Luke 22:20, Jesus speaks of the new covenant. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Before this, a sacrificial lamb was required. And everyone had to bring that lamb, and it would be killed, and its blood would be sprinkled on the offering or a scapegoat, too. It was through this offering of the blood, that God would forgive their sins. And it was a continual thing. You think of the sins that we have in our life and all of this sacrifice that was involved weekly, and these animals that were sacrificed on behalf of the requirement that God had that their sins might be forgiven. But when Jesus instituted this new covenant in his blood, the sacrifice of a lamb required by the old covenant was terminated, having fulfilled its purpose. Hebrews 8:13 puts it like this. It's speaking of a new covenant. He makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete is growing old and is ready to vanish away. Praise God, the one-time sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God's perfect Passover lamb, established this new covenant. This new covenant in which we receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life through Jesus Christ's shed blood and broken body is celebrated as we remember him in the Lord's Supper. Isn't that good? What does this mean for us? Not found in the Gospels, but emphasized by the Apostle Paul is a warning about eating the communion elements or sharing the meal in an unworthy manner. Paul put it this way because there was a lot of discord and a lot of bad things going on in the church he wrote this letter to. He said, "So whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. So let a person examine himself, and so eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on themselves." Some examples of eating and drinking in an unworthy manner might be Something as simple as just not appreciating what Jesus has done for us all. Not appreciating his suffering. Not appreciating his blood that was poured out. Eating in an unworthy manner could be something as simple as being unwilling to confess sins in our lives. God tells us that we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus' blood does that. In order to not eat unworthily, Paul tells us to examine ourselves prior to coming to the table. And that's what God's grace and his love requires us to do. That's why Jesus died, so that we can come to God humble, but yet with boldness, knowing that he hears our prayers, he knows our sins, and he's desiring for us to confess them and to live a life that is holy in reflection of who he is. So how long should we observe the Lord's Supper? Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 11:26 that there's a time limit on this ceremony. He says, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And Jesus is not here yet in physical body again. And until he comes, we are to proclaim his death. We are to share this meal together. And why is that? Well, you done told me you can forget something, right?
He told us.
Yeah. He told us to, but we do not ever want to forget what Jesus has done for us. Amen?
Amen.
From the first Lord's Supper in the upper room until he returns to earth, we are to repeatedly memorialize his death and celebrate it by means of communion and celebrating the symbols, the elements of the bread and the cup. So in conclusion, before we partake, the Lord's Supper is also called Holy Communion because when feeding at this unbelievable table and what it represents, you know, we believe that we're really communing with the Holy One, that God is present with us, that he sees us as we eat and we share himself. His spirit invigorates our spirit, and he is present with us. We're also communing with each other, not just with God. We commune with each other, and this meal is to meet our most basic need, and that's for our bodies to have nourishment. How many of y'all gonna eat today? We don't forget to do that, do we? Because it's important. We have to eat to survive and to live, don't we? And it's one of our most basic needs. And likewise, it is a basic need that we have to have each other, to be united in love, in unity. I need you to help fill my emptiness just as you need me to help fill yours. The man said it this way. I don't know who it was, but I always lied. He said, none of us are as good as all of us. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe it's most of what makes us human and makes us brothers and sisters. We need each other. Just like we need food. It is a universal, most basic need. When God created us, he created us with unity in mind. One of Jesus' last prayers spoke this. He prayed that we would be one just as he and his Father was one. Now, that's one, isn't it? That's what God desires for us. So how do we apply this truth? The next time you walk down the street or out in the community or at work, or when you go shopping or on vacation, take a look at every face you pass. And in your mind, say this: Christ died for these people. That girl, that boy, that poor person, that rich person, that phony, that crook, that saint, that confused person, that prodigal, that addict, And even when you look in the mirror, remember, Christ died for these. And so today, take and eat this in remembrance of what God has done. Father God, we examine our hearts and motives as we prepare to eat from your table this morning, hearing and knowing everything that you have done for us. May this experience of your presence and our communing together at this table strengthen us with power from on high, and grant forgiveness of our sins and help us to be one with you and one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
pray for the similar broken body of Christ Jesus as we share in this together. Let us never, ever forget what he's done for us in his broken body. Juice in this cup represents Christ's blood, the new covenant. Praise be to God for the new covenant. You know, we're not here today to do something that our sins might be forgiven. It's already been done. Amen? Once and for all, that last supper, Jesus told us about that new covenant, the shed blood. Let's never forget what he's done on the cross. Thanks and glory be to God Almighty for everything that he has done to equip us with everything that we need to live a life of holiness and godliness. For the shed blood of Jesus and his broken body, that reminder that we share together that once and for all, our sin debt has been paid. Help us to place our faith, our hope, our future in the hands of Christ our Savior, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So now we get to the scripture. How about that? Did y'all think I'd forgot it? I'm going to read it to you, okay? John 13, 1 through 17. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world. Notice that. He didn't say in his little group. He said, having loved his own who were in the world. I think that includes us today. He loved them to the very end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up after the meal. He took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. As he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you understand. No, said Peter. You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands, my head as well. He changed his tune pretty quick, didn't he? Jesus answered, those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so. For that is what I am. Now that I, your teacher, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Verily, truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Back in the early 90s, I was at a worship conference. There were churches from all over, everywhere. There were some from other countries. I think it was about 3,500 people. But a speaker one night spoke on this very scripture that I read this morning. And he said, wouldn't it be great if we could just in the church just wash one another's feet. And I wanted to stand up and say, well, you need to come on out here to one of these Free Will Baptist churches. But once again, you know, we're forgetful, aren't we? And if we think about what Jesus has done for us, think about everything that's here is here because of Jesus. He was here before everything was created, and everything that was created through him, the Bible says. And it talks about the power and the authority of Jesus, and that he's the same as God. And just think about how powerful and almighty and how holy Jesus is, but yet he was willing to put all of that aside and come down here and suffer and die for you and me. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I don't know of any leader we have today that would do that, huh? To put aside all of the power and authority and the money and the glories of this world to just come down and be a part of the people that they serve. But Jesus did. He came down, and when he washed those disciples' feet in Jesus' day, that the servants did that. Every home had a servant, and when they traveled, you can imagine how hard it's being here, but imagine over there how hot it was, and they traveled, had sandals on, and think about the dirt on their feet and how hot it was. And when they would come to someone's home, the servant would go as a gesture of welcome them into the home and wash their feet. Don't you know that was refreshing? Well, that was the job of a servant. And that's what upset Peter. You know, he's like, well, only servants do that. And what Jesus was trying to say, I am your servant. That's why I came, because I am your servant. And just as I'm willing to serve you as your Lord and as your teacher and as Almighty God, you should be willing to serve one another, to humble yourself and serve one another. So today, as we wash one another's feet, once again, it helps us to remember. It reminds us that the example that Jesus was willing to serve us and to love us and to do everything in his power to meet our greatest need. And just as he loves us and serves us, we should serve one another just like Jesus. All right, so if you can come and prepare. Traditionally, our men gather on this side and the ladies on this side. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you to join in with us. Thank you.
Our final hymn this morning is 602. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2 of I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
Jesus, fill us with the fruits of your Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Fill us to the point that it runs out of us and flows on to all those around us we'll meet this week. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.